desperate time, actually the whole year, talking about transformation. And we did some things there. We changed into family groups. We worked hard onto one another relationships. We worked on just really being connected to God. And that is not something to give up on, is to keep building on that. It brings me to what we want to do this year. Last year, December, we got together as a leadership team and the elders and the staff and talked and prayed and asked God to lead us. And we got to a place where we think that this year we're going to focus on the theme of remaining in the vine. Amen. Now, that is not to say we throw away everything we did last year. That continues to be something that you work on, but with the focus of remaining in the vine. We'll do two other things that we'll cover next week as we finish with the family group leaders. We'll inform you of the next two things we'll incorporate in remaining in the vine. I don't want to talk about that today, but just to bring you to the understanding of remaining in the vine. So how does that work? How does that work today? Here in remaining in the vine, which is the topic of or the message, the title of the message this morning, is I want to start in Matthew 12:33. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruits will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. That the condition of what you get out of a tree is whether you're making that tree good or bad. And so to remain in the vine is very much connected to that vine, a tree, a type of a tree if you wish. Type of a plant. Does that make sense? And for us to get the right fruit that God wants us to have, we've got to begin by asking the question, what type of a tree are you? What type of a tree am I? We cannot escape from that. It is there that we begin to weed, dig around, put on some manure and all the things that we need to develop this tree that brings the right fruit. So let's go on to the first point. We will stay in John 15 throughout today. I know you've heard this scripture, but I ask you to listen with an open mind and open heart. Point number one, the significance of pruning. If you've not grown into the farms, when a tree grows and you want it to go up, one of the things you can do is prune the branches that are going off, and it really go up in the sky. And there are many other plants that you can prune, and roses. There we go. You can prune roses and get one of the best. I mean, to get some of the best roses, you have to do a good job pruning them, as well as giving them the right environment for them. So the significance of pruning is that to get better, pruning must happen. Does that make sense? In other words, there's no getting away from being pruned. There's no way you can say, I'll be the same person and expect a different result. Pruning is part of God's way of doing things. So here we read, I am the true grapevine and my Father is a gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit and prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. Let's start up there. Christ is a grapevine and his Father is a gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. That you and I have to be connected to Christ. We're the branches of that. We're the branches that have to be connected to Christ. And God is doing the pruning. So, he says something very interesting. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. That you and I, if we're not connected to Christ, we begin to be cut off. Now, when we talk about that, most people think, okay, that's falling away, that's leaving the church, that's the fact that he left and that's how he was cut off. No, you got it wrong. You can be cut off from the source, from God, and be in church. that though you come, you worship, you've never connected to that truth that, you know what, I need you, Lord, to just leave today. Just like we had this morning, Saul was rejected by God as king, but he went on to rule for 40 years before it really happened. So you can be around, but are you connected to the source? And you wonder, why am I not being fruitful? And we'll talk about that in a moment. Why am I not getting what? Why am I not fulfilled and feeling purposeful? It's because you've been cut off from the source, from the vine. So you don't have a connection with God that allows you to really come to a place of producing fruit. This is a continuation of what I was talking about last week. So he cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. What fruit are we talking about? We can talk about Galatians 5 and see that when the spirit of the fruit is joy, patience, kindness, and all that stuff that comes out of just you being connected with God, that unless you're in step with God, you will not experience that kind of true joy, peace, patience, kindness. It will not be there. But I also believe that as you begin to have a lifestyle that is producing that, it begins to impact you in such a way that you have so much joy, that you have so much conviction about God, you cannot help but talk to people about God, and in the same way, you begin to produce fruit of helping people to know God. But how is that happening? They're seeing your life, and they see how you're so filled with joy and conviction, and see how you're so peaceful, and they want what you have. So you find yourself in that scripture that says the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Because then there are people even wanting more, and you don't know how to deal with all of them. That takes you being connected to the vine. That vine is what we spent a lot of time last year describing as a relationship with God. So we are moving a needle farther and saying, unless you connect into that. And you may ask, how do you connect to that? We talked about being authentic a lot last year. To connect to God, you have to be authentic. Authentic in the sense that you got to go to God and say, God, this is me, and I need you to help me to transform. I need you to help me to learn to connect to you when things are not going great. What we tend to do is we perform to the ideal person and say, this is who I want to be, but never do the job of coming from the real person to the ideal person. That never happens. So we are always fighting, performing, and never liking the real person, and working hard to get rid of the real person instead of being authentic and letting God, the vine, being connected to the vine, and let that power transform you and bring you to bring fruit to come out, and you change and become a different person. Am I making sense? Now, when you're connected, that's when fruit begins to come. But when that fruit is coming, you're making changes. He prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more fruit. The way we think as men and as women, we think, because I'm doing well, I should not be pruned. Oh no. Because you're doing well, you need to be pruned. If you read the story of the Israelites, and God gets them out of slavery, out of Egypt, and is sending them to promised land, on their way to the promised land, there was a lot of pruning that happened. Conflict, fight, and all kinds of things happened. What was that? You're going to the promised land. Why don't we just go there? No. Why did you bring us out here to die in the desert? There's no food. You see what was going on? God was pruning them, preparing them. At one point, a whole generation disappeared because they would not let God to prune them. Pruning is another word of growth, a continued growth. It's not a performance, it's a continued growth, a relationship that helps you to begin to continue changing. So pruning is not for those that are struggling. Pruning is for those that God is doing stuff with. The way we think about pruning is, oh, it's for those that are struggling. No, it's for those that are doing well. My dad had a big farm of coffee. And on holidays, I used to go in there and had to do some pruning. There was a disease called leaf rust. What it did is it dried up the leaf, and that leaf would touch the ground. So to save the coffee farm, you have to prune them off. As you did prune them off, that's when the bush gave you a lot of coffee, because then there was not energy going to the leaves, but going to the berry itself. Does that make sense? Now, it was a lot of messy job sometimes, because if you don't have the gloves, it's touching you. The water and all that is scrubbing you. But, you know, you got to make it happen. It pays your school fees, so make it happen. Cut it out and keep going. And you can be there from 6 to midday or from 5 to midday. You just pruning. It takes time. It grows. And I'm sure you've done some pruning somewhere. So I say to you today, is it possible that you're avoiding pruning? Is it possible that the reason we don't even talk to anyone about God is we are afraid of the pruning? Because sometimes you talk to people about God and they reject you. What happens? Do you take it personally? If you do, you got to get your strength from God, not from the fact that they didn't talk to me. And it's not a performance. Again, when you're connected to the vine, you know when you're prompted by the Spirit to talk to someone. It's not about, oh, I have not done it last year. This year I want to talk to 10 people every day. 10 people every day. It's not going to work. You'll be done in no time. You've got to listen to the Spirit and be conscious to the Spirit and hear God speaks to you. And then you see that happen. It produces more fruit. But that fruit has to be you, your character being transformed. That is really where it starts. And then we get into the other people. Amen? Did we get this right? What's going on? Okay. My toys are not playing here. Here we go. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I've given you. Now, he says this to us in verse 3, that you've already been pruned and purified by the message I've given you. That message is the message of Christ. But here's what happened. You get that message. Initially, you're getting excited. You want it. You're taking it on. You're letting it purify you. It's like chlorine, right? Chlorine, and you take it on and you put it in the water. You put chlorine in the water so that people can drink. In very remote places, you don't even have chlorine. They have a different chemical, and they can take that water, put the chemical in, and it will clear as you see it. And in no time, you can drink it. And it takes a lot of faith because you see it when it's very dirty. And they put the chemical in. Then they ask you, can you drink it? And it happens under 10 minutes. In places where they don't have tap water, that's what they do. And I've seen it happen. I'm like, okay, you can drink that stuff. And the guy that does it will taste it and say, yeah, you can drink this. But a few minutes ago, it was that brown. I think that one of the things we don't realize is you have been pruned and purified by the message. So the question becomes, are you taking the message? Because sometimes it can be ritualistic. We hear the message, we get inspired for the moment, for the hour, for the 30 minutes, then leave and the inspiration leaves. We don't do the time to get that continual in the week. And that's what we got to start doing better. That is the habits I talked about 2 weeks ago. About you got to get the habits in place to continue this pruning and purification that God does. It is interesting how when I'm struggling emotionally and mentally and I go back to scriptures or quote them, my spirit comes down so quickly. I know that for sure. I hope you can try it out. When I'm anxious or frustrated, I go to scriptures. So what does God say about the situation? And all of a sudden, it goes away. Where do you go to? Do you go to the TV? Do you go to food? You go to the internet? How do you know when you're going to those things? I'll tell you how you know. When you find that you sat on that TV place and did not leave for 5 hours, and you're just changing channels for the sake of changing. CNN, Fox, whatever it is, you're just changing. You know you're not going to God. You're going to the channels. You know when you're not going to God when you take the phone and just keep scrolling for no reason. You're just turning things around. You just don't listen. You're like, are we all right? Yeah. You're just scrolling and you know you're not going to God. You're going to the screen. You know you're not going to God when there's pressure, and the next thing is you're opening the fridge and you're just eating and eating and eating, and you're like, what's going on? These things are real. They have to be confronted in love, in the Word of God, and it needs relationship for that to happen. If it's not dealt with like that, change never comes. Secondly, the significance of remaining in the vine. We just talked about the significance of pruning and how that works. Let's talk about this. Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. So there's a decision you have to make, that I have to make. That decision is to remain in the vine. It's not a forced decision. You have to see the value of being connected to the vine. That I cannot do this without God. We cannot do Christianity without God. If we do it without God, it's performance. If we try to do that, we're trying to do it with our own energy. It's frustrating. It is the worst life you can have out of being a heathen. A person that calls themselves a Christian and is trying to run a Christian life without God is the most difficult thing you can ever do. You're burdened. You're unhappy. So that is why remain. You got to make that decision. I will remain in the vine. I'll wake up in the morning and study what I need. Food for you. Food for your soul. What do you need? Figure that out. I can't tell you that. You know yourself way more than I do. You got to figure out, what do I need to remain in the vine? And I'll remain in you. Don't react to people. Don't react to stuff. Figure out, what do I need to be godly in this? It says, for a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. That is what I talked about earlier, that it's possible to be in church and be severed from the vine, yet because you don't connect to the energy, to the power. To produce, as then it says in verse 5, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Another question. Are you finding that you're frustrated a lot? You need to go back to God. Are you finding that you're anxious? You need to go back to God and give that. It says, my yoke is light. My yoke is light. Come to me and learn from me. You got to go back then, let go. What is it occurring that you need to give over to God? And I know I can say that and you feel light right now. The moment you leave, you take it all again on yourself. You got to leave it. Let it go. Are you finding that you're trying to control so much? You're trying to control life, the outcome. You're trying to say, what will happen? Give it to God and experience and let God lead your life today, now, the moment. Talked about that a little bit last week, but I have to repeat it because the emphasis of why we must get it right. That is what you have to ask yourself. Am I going back to the vine? For apart from me, you can do nothing. The reason nothing happens is because we are apart from God. We are apart from the vine, the source, the place that we get the energy, the strength, the inspiration. If we are apart from that, nothing happens. We can't help anyone to know God. We can help ourselves to be joyful. We can be peaceful. Why? We have no connection to God. And it's as simple as getting in the Word, but reading the Bible to hear God speak to you. It's possible to read the Bible the way you read a newspaper. Now, I don't think we read newspapers as much as we did. My generation did. I think we moved on to the way we read news lines. What is trending? What's trending? What's trending? No. You've got to put yourself in what was the heart of the message. What was God trying to speak to me about? And transpose yourself, if you wish, in that space and begin to hear the voice of God to your personal needs. It's different when you read it like that. It's totally different. That requires time. That requires a place to focus. You can do that on a winging it or in a hurry. You need some time. You need some time. Anyone who does not remain in me and is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. I think that what happens to us as Christians when we're not connected to God, we have oxidation. Have you ever put an apple outside? You bought an apple and you've left it in the kitchen for a long time. The first day was shiny, it was looking good. After about 3 weeks, how is it looking? Shriveled and not shiny, It's dying out, right? You know, you can be going through spiritual oxidation. You're no longer excited with God's word. You kind of, on other things that is about God, we look for ways to deflect that stuff. We don't like God's stuff. And that's the life of God's calling us to. So we resist the real stuff and we want to take on junkie. Why would you do that? The real stuff, take it. Take what God is telling you. Don't let oxidation happen. That's part of being thrown away, like useless branch that withers. Such branches are gathered into the pile to be burned. I think you begin to burn up emotionally. And you're just burned up with the world and burned up with things. We have even burnout. You know you're having burnout when you're not happy to wake up in the morning and go to work. There's a burnout coming your way. You know you're having burnout when you go to the office and you spend the first 2 hours walking around doing much work but just talking to people. You know you're having some burnout issues. Yeah, you just walk around. You're not really touching anything. You say, hey, what? Did you know? Did you hear? Did you see? Did you hear? You know you're not doing anything. You know you're having burnout when you go to class and people are trying to get work going and you're just talking stuff. You're not really focused. There's burnout happening to you. This is real and this is true. And we have to begin to examine ourselves and say, how can I reconnect and get more revived by God's word? But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. We struggle with that part, right? Is that true? Church, is that true? Well, some people here rest not sure. It's in the Bible. If it's according to God's will, it'll be true, right? You see, this is what I'm talking about. I would be thinking, yeah, this is true. But we're like, I'm not sure. Yeah, I think so. This is what I'm talking about. When you're connected to this power, to God, it is true. It may not come when you want it, but it will come. Because you remember, from the Egypt to the promised land, you need some weeding, some pruning to happen before you're ready for the gift, right? Because you may receive it when you're not ready and you may do some silly stuff with it. So God will wait for you to be ready. Some pruning will happen. Does that make sense? So it'll be granted. Is the truth that we don't want to put our hope high because we're afraid of disappointment? I don't know why. We're afraid because we don't believe it, really. If we did, we'd say, okay, come on. We're going to go with God on this one. There are many things in my life that I prayed for and God answered, sometimes years back. You know, when I was 16, I thought of the person I would marry and how they'd look and how would relate with each other. And then at 24, I started liking my wife. Now, she didn't like me right away. She's like, wait, where are you coming from? And I thought to myself, after maybe one or two interactions, I knew this is the person I want to marry. If it's meant to be, it'll happen. But I was then sent on a mission. I'm beginning to like her and I'm sent on a mission for 6 months. For 6 months, I'm praying because you know what? It's the kingdom. She can go with anyone she likes. You understand that? So I began to pray and fast, and I got to a place of saying, God, if this is your will, you'll make it happen. If it's not your will, amen. That happened over maybe 2 months of prayer and fasting. Then I stopped and I said, I'm good. We're good now. Let's keep going. So I'm doing my ministry and everything, and I come back. And my scripture then those days was, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. So that is what I walked with. You know, you'd say that, God, so we got to walk with this stuff. But I'm open to your will. Maybe that's not what you want us to do. And we do that. And that goes on. And I come back 6 months later and I find out, oh, she really likes me as well. And the rest is history. But I share that to say that you're going to trust it. You can put it in God's hands and it will be given back to you. Now here's where we go wrong. When he doesn't give it back to us, we're like, God, I trusted you. Why did you let me down? What if it was not what God intended for you? You got to surrender that to us. Does that make sense? Okay, I need to fast forward a little bit here. So understand that. You can ask anything. When you produce fruit, and it will be given, it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. Whatever the motive needs to be about God. The intention needs to be about glorifying God. That is where we ought to go with this stuff. Whatever we're trying to do needs to be about God. Does that make sense? I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. Remain in my love. So, how do you remain in God's love? You've got to stick with God's word. Let him guide you. Quickly moving here. John 15, 10 to 12. The significance of practicing God's word. I talked about this last Wednesday, but I'll touch it again today. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obeyed my Father's commandments and remain in his love. This is where the traction begins to take place. Unless we are obeying, you never get the traction. You read this thing, you believe it in your head, but you never experience it. You never make that journey of experiencing it. Why? Because you never practice what you really believe it is. And practicing brings you to that place of experience. You have to practice what you know is true from the scriptures. Then he talks about, I have told you this thing so that you will be filled with joy. Amen? With joy. It is here that you begin to get joy. Your practice begins to bring you to a place of joy. Your practice begins to bring you in a place for fulfillment. Yes, your joy will overflow. Then you can touch other people as well. It's overflowing. Does that make sense? You touch other people as well. This is my command. Love each other in the same way I loved you. So how did Jesus love us? He died for people that did not deserve it. He reached out to people that were not interested. He eventually called us friends because he began by trying to teach us and say, how dull are you? Didn't understand stuff. And was just doing all that stuff. Eventually he says, I call you friends because he really wanted to connect. And I think that this is a call for you and I to begin to understand this. How did Jesus love us? The same way. But this command, love each other as I've loved you. We've got to love each other enough to build friendships, to talk through stuff when we're struggling, to manage things, to be authentic and not play thing, not to play church, but really be real about what's going on. Does that make sense? It's there the attraction begins to happen. And we begin to experience growth in our character. And God uses that to touch the world. And we can win more people for Christ. Amen? I wish I would talk longer than that. But time does not permit. God bless you.
Is this the one that works? It is. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for showing us today, just reminding us, God, how much that we need you, how much, God, that we rely on you just to function day to day. And I pray that you help us to have a heart that realizes that. Lord, as we move forward this week, please help us to have the humility to give you the time that we need in order to be refreshed by you, to remain in the vine and receive what we need in order to grow. And Lord, let that overflow to the people around us during the week. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We have one more song, and then we'll be dismissed.